My five, your six. What'd you like about Kalen Bullock?
Honestly, I think Kalen Bullock would be an ideal fit for the Titans. You know, when
I like his
size and speed. You know, he's not easy.
And now we move on to safety, another position you could see the Titans address in this draft. A weaker position, so we're going to spend much less time on this group than the running backs, because they're not just weaker, they're also less fun to talk about, if we're being 100% honest. There are some interesting prospects in here, though. If you're looking at the consensus board at this safety group, let me make sure I have this right before I just say something that's blatantly wrong. Yeah, so we've got the top six guys in this group projected to go inside the top 100, and then it falls off pretty precipitously. So with the back half of our top 10s here, JT, I want us to kind of, we'll just go back and forth given the one big thing on what a day three dart throw on a safety. If the Titans were to address this position, which maybe we can start there, I don't necessarily think they can afford to. If they do, it's going to need to be a guy that they really like. And so like my first guy here, just to give away the ghost since we have it on the board, my number 10 safety, your number 7 safety is Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest. I believe the Titans were at his pro day and they've shown some interest in him. He's at 139 on the consensus board. And so if he were to be there in the 6th to 7th round, and they really like the guy, I don't hate that. Safety is, with the way that they've addressed the cornerback position, really that lends itself to me thinking you're going to have an issue at corner at safety going into the year. But that's you're going to have issues somewhere. You got to pick your poison. This is the poison I kind of want to pick.
Yeah, I think that I don't think it's like absolutely far and away that they wouldn't go after a safety here in the 5th or 6th round. I think there are more glaring needs at more important positions, right? You do have two viable starters right now on the roster, with Elijah Molden playing that free safety slot. Looks like most likely he will move there full time.
So see him as a viable starter, because I'm not sure if I'm there yet on him as a safety starter, but he can show us that in August and in September, I guess.
Right, and I think that's currently the plan, kind of given how they've kind of pressed pause on the veteran safety market. They did go after maybe a CJ Gardner-Johnson or show some interest in that kind of player. But, you know, once they got bought out, outpriced by that, you know, it seems that they kind of switched gears, and that's where you started to see the L'Jarius Sneed trade and other things like that. I think keeping an Elijah Molden right there fixes the more immediate need right now than bringing in one of these guys. So when you talk about, round 4, round 5, maybe not the best place to go looking for your starting free safety. And then, of course, you have Armani Hooker as the strong safety. I think, like you said, it needs to be addressed, but not necessarily right now. Malik Mustafa, though, I'm higher on him, I think, than obviously you are, and more than a lot
than
of more
the
people
consensus.
Are.
Yeah.
Seeing him at the Senior Bowl was one of my favorite prospects. You know, we saw a lot of safeties at the Senior Bowl really just struggle, but he was one of the bright spots there, was able to hold up with the competition, and I think really made a name for himself that week, and was one of the big reasons that he continued to still rise up my board to the point where I think he will probably go in that 5th, early 5th, maybe late 4th round. And I think that you're going to get a guy who I don't know if he can come out of the gate swinging as your starting safety, but I think he can be a rotational guy at worst in his first season.
That's fair. My one big thing for him is he's a throwback strong safety. This guy is old school in an endearing way. He's got the skill set and the mentality for it. He's lacking athletically. 5'11", 207 pounds, an average athlete who's not going to be flying sideline to sideline. And that's why I don't have him as high on my board, but I do like the upside with him as somebody that you can use in two high looks. If you can get him back there with the partner and let him play his game, give it play in quarters and say, here's your part of the field, let's defend this. I do like him as a player you can add to your team. And he's got some special teams upside as well, where he's going to have a role of some kind his first year with your team. So that's Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest, my number 10 safety, your number 7 safety. Let's do Tyke Smith next. He's your number 10, my number 9 out of Georgia. What did you like about Tyke? What's the one big thing?
You know, I liked his play in coverage. I think he was fourth in all among all safeties according to PFF with in coverage stops. But that's really it. I think he has the tools and the ability to play good coverage at the next level. However, I think there's a lot more glaring issues with his game. You know, only a 3.9% forced incompletion rate last year. You know, so the production he was allowing a lot. He had four interceptions last year, but did allow three touchdowns. And you know, he wasn't someone who was breaking up a lot of passes. Only two forced incompletions last year. So, you know, the production really isn't there for a guy coming out of Georgia that you would like to see. But there are, you know, there are intangibles in football IQ that you like with him.
Yeah, the one big thing I was going to say for him is a coverage stud who can, you know, he lacks long speed. And as a rusher, doesn't really have, just not really his game at all. But he can set the edge as a box safety in the running game. I think that he can be of value to a team in that way. I like enough what he does as a coverage player, being able to hang with guys on the back end, that he made it onto my list at number nine. So that's Tyke Smith out of Georgia. We've got a couple guys here that you have and I don't have, and I have and you don't have. So you want to start with Jalen Simpson out of Auburn, who's not on my board, and then I'll get over to Sione Vaki out of Utah.
Yeah, so Jalen Simpson, I think he's currently listed on a lot of boards as a cornerback. I think personally, after the Senior Bowl and what we saw him, I think he's most likely going to transition to the safety role. You know, if you had to ask me to put him on a top 10 cornerbacks, he wouldn't be there. But I think at moving him to the safety position, I think there's a lot to like there. 20% forced incompletion rate last year. So the production and the ability was there. Four interceptions last year. You know, five forced incompletions. This guy really loves to, he is the big thing with him is he's handsy, right? That's, he plays above his means sometimes in that way. And sometimes is known to be this kind of goes for the home run hitting play. And for him, the production was there. You know, just sometimes you have to wonder, can he kind of round out his entire game? Obviously, you know, run defense is not his strong suit whatsoever. A 48 PFF run grade last season, allowed 15 receptions on 25 targets. So, you know, like he has the coverage ability, you know, he just needs to kind of develop that into a better, outstanding kind of role.
Fair enough. Okay. My guy that's on my board, but not yours, is Sione Vaki out of Utah. He is, so he's an interesting one because he might not play safety at the NFL level. We've seen throughout the pre-draft process them move him around a little bit. He's got the requisite skill set to potentially play running back or maybe even like a slot receiver. He did that at Utah. So, where teams end up wanting to play him, I don't know. But as a safety prospect, which is where I think he's best utilized, very impressive athlete. He's got the athletic ability and vision that I think you're looking for in a safety. So I think he's a valuable player in the backfield who, if he settles down at the safety position and dedicates all of his time to doing that, the athletic traits, the upside athletically, not so much the production in college, because again, he was all over the place. They were using him as the best athlete on the team, really. I think if he puts all of that athletic prowess, focuses that into one thing, playing safety, he's got the requisite skill set to be a star. So that's why I like Sione Vaki, who just give more frame of reference for where we are on the consensus board here. Avaki comes in at 146, Malik Mustafa 139, so Tyke Smith 124. These are the kinds of guys that you're going to get in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. Let's move on up the board and let's talk about Dadrian Taylor Demerson. One heck of a name, safety out of Texas Tech, who comes in at number 100 on the consensus board. He is my number seven player at the safety position, your number eight player. What did you like about the Texas Tech safety?
The athletic ability, the you know, he doesn't have a really good size, 5'10", 197. So that's kind of why he's probably down here and lower on some boards. Short king for sure, but the athletic upside is there. Freak. He ran a 4.41, 93rd percentile, 78 percentile vert, 63% bench. So this guy is strong, and you see that in his coverage grade. Once again, another guy who had a 20% forced incompletion rate. You know, really good coverage grades all across the board, especially if you go back and you look at specifically the game that I thought, the TCU game that he played, he showed a lot on tape there that there's a lot to like that can build into a starter at the next level. But obviously, the size, I think, is the biggest concern for him and why he's only safety number 8 on my board.
Yeah, that's fair. He's another athletic freak, so that's really what you're hanging your hat on with him. Like you said, really small. If he was a median sized safety, I'd like him a lot more. But at 10th percentile height, 15th percentile weight, you just can't get there. He can fly, and that athleticism allowing him to play, play sideline to sideline at times. That upside is what you're banking on in him as a safety.
Yeah,
let's just keep trucking along, because these are guys that, again, like, not the highest rated prospect. Some of these guys here in our top fives, though, are going to be more highly rated. You've got Kalen Bullock out of USC at number 6. Bold of you to put any USC defender on any list.
I know, right?
No, I have him on my list as well. I think he's my number. Let me check here. I think he's my number. Yeah, he's my number 5 player. So my 5, your 6. What'd you like about Kalen Bullock?
Honestly, I think Kalen Bullock would be an ideal fit for the Titans. You know, when you look at size and speed, you know, he's really skinny, 188, 4th percentile weight, but
6'3",
makes up for
string beam, this guy.
Yeah, he does make up for it in height, 87th percentile height. Also has the 40 yard dash to go along with that, 74th percentile in that. So, you know, fluidity is his game, right? He's not the strong guy that's going to bully these receivers, and especially in the run game as well. You know, put him up against a bowling ball running back and he's probably getting ran over, you know, because you can look at it also in his bench. He's even below the first percentile in bench. Like, this is not a super athlete strong guy, but he plays the game with fluidity and good football IQ that I think you look at the kind of mold of physical corners that the Titans already have, he'd be a nice guy to complement that and play a little bit more with that fluidity and you know, not as much just aggressiveness.
If a team can get their hands on him and just get him in the weight room, get this guy a little bit stronger, he lacks the strength you're looking for to be able to utilize him in more unique ways close to the line of scrimmage, but he's got elite length, elite range, like top tier range. And so he's kind of the first guy on this list, like you said, at 196.3, athletic enough to be an impact single high safety, play sideline to, like, truly play sideline to sideline. You're not worried about him in cover 3. You're not worried about him in cover 1. I want him to get stronger. That's really the big thing. But that range and that length is something that you can't teach that. That's just the way that he's built, and that's unique. So that's Kalen Bullock. Let's get to my number 6 player is Cole Bishop out of Utah. Is he on your list? I'm assuming probably.
Yeah,
top
I believe
5?
He's number 5 for me.
Okay, so Cole Bishop out of Utah is at number 70. And I'm just realizing it's so interesting. Utah has 2 of these guys. Georgia has 2 of these guys. It's just like the safety market in college. There's some hoarding going on, some monopolization of the safeties. Utah with the strong DBs per kind of their usual arrangement. He comes in at 74. So these top 4 guys are all inside the top 75 on the consensus board. What'd you like so much about Cole Bishop, who we saw at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I think, like you said, with Malik Mustafa, you know, a more old school type of safety, I think he fits that mold as well. You know, he's going to be more of that run defending guy, more of the quarterback of the field, kind of seeing the plays develop. I think that's where he wins the most with his football IQ and his ability to kind of scan the field like that and read a play as it develops. You know, he's also very athletic as well. I think that's something that can't be knocked about him. You know, coverage really isn't his game, but, you know, the ability to read the play and react that way, you can see that in his athleticism and something that could be a really good trait at the next level. 4.45 40, 86 percentile vert, 64 percentile broad jump. You know, also does have a little bit more meat on the bone at 206 and coming in at 6'2". So that's something you like a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, not the best player in coverage, though, which I think is why he gets knocked here. If he was a coverage freak, I think we'd be talking about him more as maybe a round 2 prospect.
Yeah, he is similar to Mustafa. I like that comparison because he's got that throwback style field general safety play style and requisite skill set. But unlike Mustafa, the reason why he's much higher on the board for me is he's a much better athlete, right? 84th percentile 40-yard dash, ran a 4.45. 86th percentile broad, 60th percentile, the 86th percentile vert, 60th percentile broad. So he's a strong athlete who can play that role that he wants to play a little bit more effectively. And that's what I like a lot about him. So I think that's well put. Let's keep trucking here into our top fives. And we covered Bullock and Bishop. So we're down to our top fours each, which are exactly the same. That's convenient. So let's just go with number four, Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. This is a guy that you've seen. I think early on, you saw this mocked to the Titans a handful of times because they were in need of safety. And this is a guy that kind of fit into that range if they were to move back into round three, or maybe have him slip into the top of round four. You could end up with a Cameron Kitchens on your team. 6 foot, 205, only 21 years old, very solid all around athletic profile. What did you like about what you saw from him on tape?
Sound athletic profile, maybe not the best, when it comes to football IQ. Cameron Kitchens is...
He makes some interesting decisions.
He does. He's more of a see ball, go get ball kind of player.
Just he needs refining. He needs a coach to get under his skin a little bit.
He's got really good ball skill, right? And you see that. He's a ball hawk, for lack of a better term. 11 interceptions over the last two seasons. But then also the ability for him to create busted coverage in the same way that a Deron Bland for the Cowboys makes busted coverage, or Diggs's brother who plays for the Cowboys as well. That entire secondary,
why am I blanking on his name now? Dadgum.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's a lot of names. Help us out. We've been talking about.
He got hurt. He's been out of sight, out of mind for a long time. Shoot.
He also got hurt. So I just like, out of sight.
Anyways, he's Dallas like, Cowboys.
He's the perfect Dallas Cowboy, basically, because he fits their mold. Okay. Yeah. He fits their mold of perfectly say we don't care. We're going to make the cool. We're going to make Trayvon Diggs.
That's
bad. Yeah. We're going to make the sexy plays and get interceptions. Who cares if we get beat 11,000 times? And so with Cameron Kitchens, I like a lot of the ability that he has, but yeah, he needs to tone it. We're out of 10. He needs to take it to like a 5 with the way that he makes decisions on the field.
Totally. Yes. He has the requisite skill set, the athleticism, the build for me to be a bona fide starter at free safety for a team. He just needs refining. He's a little bit raw in terms of decision-making, his field vision, but he's a downhill player. He can get on the field to where the quarterback's throwing the ball pretty much from anywhere. So I like a lot of what he's done. He's 12 interceptions in college from the free safety spot. So he's got strong range and can play that single high role really well. It's just some refinement that I'm looking for a little bit from him to see him be a bona fide starter at the NFL level. But I think he can be, and he'll be around, a round three pick for somebody probably who is going to plug him in and let him start, I'd imagine. All right, our top three guys here. Javon Bullard is at number three for both you and I, the second of two Georgia prospects on this list, the better of two Georgia prospects on this list. Javon, who I should have this pulled up already. This is good radio. Javon Bullard, I can't type now. I can't even find him. Okay. While I'm looking for his numbers, JT, tell me about what you liked about Javon Bullard.
So Javon Bullard, I think, really interesting player. There's an element of his game, that with some of the abilities in coverage, I think, are something that you want to see more of. It's a little bit more flashes, tied for 27th out of all safeties in forced incompletions, a 26.9% forced incompletion rate, allowed 14 receptions on 26 targets. Two interceptions, did not allow a single touchdown. These are all things that when you look in his game, you want to see more consistently. And I think that's the big thing with him. When you look at a guy like that, you want to see more consistency, and it's hard for him because of the size, 5'10", 198.
Yes. And this is why I was trying to find the stupid numbers, because this is the crux of the argument. Yes.
Still an athletic guy at that size, with the 4.47 40, 98% percentile shuttle, but the other athletic abilities there with his vertical and the broad jump and things like that, 15th percentile vert jump. That's where you get into some trouble with him. So, when he goes up against a bigger receiver, he's going to have trouble.
I want Javon Bullard and Cameron Kitchens to like
mesh,
become
meld.
Yeah, I want them to have the same things because like they are complement. I need them to form a law firm to be one unit together because Bullard is he's the little dog at the dog park that barks all the bigger dogs. But in this case with Bullard, he actually does have a little bit of bite to him, a strong player. Despite the lack of height, despite the lack of weight, you know, small arms, small wingspan. He's not rangy in that way in terms of a length profile, but he's really, really athletic. 79th percentile 40, 83rd percentile 10-yard split. He's a fearless player out there. And so even though he's not an elite athlete, he's got the competitive juice, the quickness. He's a strong tackler. An elite 10.8% missed tackle rate. When he gets his hands on you, you're going to the ground. He forces incompletions at an elite rate. 26.9% of his targets were forced incompletions. And he's a strong player. And like, he can get downhill and play the run defense. So he plays like a truly elite safety in a bigger body. Unfortunately, he's just not in a bigger body. So that's them's the breaks. And that's why he's my third safety on this list. Number two, we both have Jaden Hicks out of Washington State, a player that when the Beast came out, Dane Brugler, I believe, has him as his number one safety. Let me double check this. Yeah, he's his number one safety, has a second round grade on this guy. The consensus sees him more as a third round pick, but there's a lot to like about Hicks. What did you like in particular?
So I think that there's some things in his game that, you know, there are the glaring issues in his game at some times. Missed tackles are something that he struggles with most of the time. 28 missed tackles over the last two seasons. But, you know, I think he, when you look at his athletic profile, just from a 10,000-foot view, he kind of is the perfect package for a safety. 6'1", 211, but still has really good quickness
build.
To his game. 4.5, 40, 68th percentile, 40, 74th percentile, vert, 68th percentile, three cone. This is a fluid mover at that size. And I think that, you know, if it wasn't for the little things, at this point, I think it's just kind of like, you know, looking at the little things with him, I think that he can be a day one starter from the get-go.
Yeah, those are the big things for me. He's a highly productive in college. He's got the prototypical size and length, pro ready frame. And he's a heat-seeking missile of a safety. He'll get downhill. He'll run sideline to sideline and be able to cover in a single high capacity. Like the reason why he's two for me, he's a little bit on the stiffer side. Sometimes he runs himself out of a play and it doesn't have the requisite discipline that you're looking for necessarily, but an above average athlete across the board in terms of his testing. Only 21 years old, a redshirt sophomore coming out of college. I think there's a lot to like about him as a, if you're looking for a starting safety in this class, I think Jaden Hicks is one of the couple of guys you can draft and feel confident you have addressed a starting role on your team. All right, and that leaves us with our number one player at the safety position, a guy who, when we saw some of the first individual betting lines come out earlier this week about like over under draft pick for some of these guys, Tyler Newbin, considered by Vegas a fringe first round player. Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota, both of our number one safeties in this class. Is he a fringe first rounder? Not to me, but man, he's a really the complete package at safety in this class. Like, he's number one with the bullet. So I understand it a little bit in terms of a scarcity. If you need a safety and you want the safety, this is your guy. 6'1", 199, a prototypical size, super versatile ball hawking player. What'd you like about Newbin enough to make him your number one guy?
If you could take Jaden Hicks' size and Tyler Newbin, like Jaden Hicks' athletic ability and Tyler Newbin's play strengths, and put them together into one safety, you'd probably have the best safety of all time. The athleticism for Tyler Newbin just simply is not there. He does not, in his athletic testing, did not test over 50th percentile in anything at the combine or at his pro day. So the athleticism isn't there, but the football IQ is some of the best in the game. I see a little bit, you know, you can look at maybe like Adrian Amos is a name that I think gets popularly compared to him in that kind of vein of player. Super productive also in college. And I think production for him goes a long way to have that success despite the athletic maybe inefficiencies, I think is a big thing for why Tyler Newbin is still the safety one consensus.
I agree completely. That's what it is, man. He lacks that elite speed. He lacks the range you're looking for with a truly perfect safety prospect. But he's got great size in general and the top tier ball production that is just like what he did in college, what he put on tape, that you look at that and you say that translate, that's going to translate. It does. It is really obvious in that way when you watch it. Versatile playmaker. You can line up probably at multiple spots in the secondary, frankly, with that relatively universal build, 6'1", 199. And he's a good enough athlete that I think you could move him around. So I think he's got the rare versatility and instinctual playmaking. What he put on tape, he's an instinctual playmaker, I guess is what I'll say. And I've got people blowing up my phone distracting me here. That's what I think you're getting in Tyler Newbin. So that is our top 10 safeties list. That is our top 10 running backs list. And JT, that leaves us with just three positions and two more episodes we're going to cover. So we appreciate everybody joining us live today. If you are here with us, thank you so much. If you're listening in post, check out a live show. We got a couple live shows coming up on Thursday, 1 week before the draft. JT and I will be back covering the top 10 cornerbacks and edge players, two positions the Titans certainly could address, in particular the edge. You could see them draft one of these top edges at even in the first round, in the second round, absolutely in play. So that'll be a fascinating episode to get up to speed on some of these prospects. And then on Sunday night, the do and don't draft guide, JT and I will be going through our magnum opus article, which will be out on Monday morning. So check that out. The do and don't draft players for the Titans in 2024. On Monday, we're live with Sean McAvoy, quarterback coach to the Stars, talking about what Will Levis's offseason has been like, as well as the top 10 quarterbacks in this draft class. And then on Tuesday, the last show before we do our live draft shows on Thursday and Friday night, which you should be tuned in for all of round one, round two, come hang out with us. But on Tuesday, mock draft 2.0, going through the final predictions for the first round and the Titans 7-round mock. Until then, if you're looking for stuff to catch up on, tomorrow we'll have the interior offensive line pod dropping. So if you listen on podcast, listen to that with Sony Keeley. That's great. If you're looking to learn up on the interior offensive lineman, check out a past episode going through any of the positions we've already covered. And until Thursday, for producer JT, I'm your host, Easton Freeze. Like, subscribe, follow, do all those good things for us. We'll talk to you on Thursday.